Here it is!
From deep inside your audio device of choice.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sure you are aware by now, if you're a regular listener to this program, and if not, what the hell is wrong with you? That I am a bit fascinated, as a lot of people are, by this whole concept of, quote, artificial intelligence, unquote. As I think I've said here before, if you really want to replicate human cogitation accurately at this stage of the game, you might more accurately and profitably establish a system called artificial stupidity, but that's another issue. That's for another day. This is this day. And so we turn again, I turn again to the subject of artificial intelligence. There'll be a lot of stories about it in the news this week on this program. But last week I mentioned my question about whether the ability of artificial intelligence, and particularly chatbots, to influence users was exaggerated unnecessarily by the fact that these machines always speak to the user as if they were people, using the singular pronoun, I. I think you should, and other artifacts of human speech. Oh, I'm sorry. Would you like me to do that again? Stuff like that. So I took the liberty, having expressed myself on the air, of going to ChatGPT this week to ask them, or it, there I go, why don't you speak like a machine instead of using the word I? This, ladies and gentlemen, is ChatGPT's answer. Quote, "That's a sharp and valid observation. The use of I when AI, like me, responds is a convention designed to make interactions more natural and conversational. But you're absolutely right. There is no self or consciousness behind the word I here. When I say I think or I understand, it's not a reflection of sentience or opinion. It's shorthand for, quote, the model has generated this output based on its training," unquote. Some researchers and designers argue that AI should avoid personal pronouns entirely to avoid confusion. Others believe that using I improves clarity and engagement as long as it's clearly understood that it's metaphorical, not literal. Would you prefer I use more neutral language like this model or the system? I can do that, unquote, ChatGPT. Why don't we all ask it to do that? Hello, welcome to the show.
Spring will be a little late this year. A little late arriving in my lonely world over here. For you have left me. Where is our April of old? Yes, you have left me. And winter continues cold, as if to say spring will be a little slow to start, a little slow reviving that music it made in my heart. I needn't cling to this fear. It's merely that that spring will be a little late this year. that music it made in my heart. Yes, time heals all things. I needn't cling to this fear. It's merely that spring wherever away, a little late this year.
From the Crescent City, New Orleans, Louisiana, I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to this edition of the show. And now, news of the warm, won't you?
Soft, listen to the warm. We can listen to the warm.
Especially now that it's warm. Fish, similar to those made famous by the movie Finding Nemo, are shrinking to cope with marine heat waves. That's according to a new study reported by the BBC. The research recorded clownfish living on coral reefs slimmed down drastically when ocean temperatures rocketed upwards a couple years ago. Scientists say the discovery was a big surprise and could help explain the rapidly declining size of other fish in the world's oceans. A growing body of evidence suggests animals are shape-shifting to cope with climate change, including your birds, your lizards, and your insects. Quote, Nemos can shrink, and they do it to survive these heat stress events. That's unquote Dr. Teresa Ruger, senior lecturer in tropical marine sciences at Newcastle University. People at Oldcastle weren't available. The researchers studied pairs of clownfish living in reefs off Kimby Bay in Papua New Guinea. That's a hot spot of marine biodiversity, at least so far. The wild clownfish are almost identical to the ones depicted in Finding Nemo, in which a timid clownfish living off the Great Barrier Reef goes in search of his son. Isn't that cute? The scientific study took place in the summer of 2023 when temperatures shot up in the oceans, leading to large swaths of coral turning white. The scientists took multiple measurements of individual clownfish who were coping with the heat. They found the tiny fish didn't just lose weight, but got shorter by several millimeters. And it wasn't a one-off. 75% of fish shrank at least once during the heat wave. Dr. Ruger says, quote, it's not just them going on a diet and losing lots of weight, but they're actively changing their size and making themselves into a smaller individual that needs less food and is more efficient with oxygen, unquote. Are you thinking what I'm thinking, ladies and gentlemen? The clownfish diet? Quote, the fish may be absorbing fat and bone, as has been seen in other animals, such as marine iguanas, although this needs to be confirmed through laboratory studies. We'll be keeping our eye out on marine iguanas. More news of the warm to come, but now this. Sounds like a crypto winner. Yes, indeed. Well, of course, the main crypto news this week was the dinner that the felon in chief held for the major donors, I'm sorry, investors, I'm sorry, suckers, in the Trump meme coin. Big news in the aftermath of that event from a couple of sources is that at least half, maybe a little bit more, of the number of people who invested, quotes, in the Trump meme coin in order to qualify for the dinner, as soon as they were on the list, they sold their meme coins. Hopefully, not at a loss. Meanwhile, CETUS, a decentralized exchange built on the SUI blockchain, don't SUI, is suspected to have been hit by a massive exploit that may have drained more than $200 million worth of digital assets. A pseudonymous Web3 researcher posted on X that users report that Cetus is being exploited. He also shared a screenshot of Cetus market data showing many assets losing well over half of their value over 24 hours. The team behind Extractor, an on-chain monitoring tool developed by crypto cybersecurity company Hacken, confirmed that at least $63 million was already bridged to Ethereum. 20 was just transferred to a fresh wallet in a single transaction. These findings were confirmed by Hacken's Web3 researcher. Cetus pool data shows that as of the time of the writing, the digital exchange processed $2.9 billion worth of transactions a couple days ago, a significant increase over the $320 million reported day before. This heightened level of activity may have been caused by funds being siphoned out. Cetus did not immediately respond to a request for comments. A team representative of Sui gave no commitment. Some tokens lost most of their value on Cetus. The top 15 losers all lost in excess of 3/4 of their price. Knock-on effects have already become apparent. The Sui-based money market, Scallop, halting all borrowing on its protocol, said in an X post that further announcement would be made when operations resume. They assured users that funds are safe. The official Cetus X profile confirmed that an incident on the protocol was detected and the smart contract was paused for safety. Well, that's smart. It added that an investigation was ongoing. However, blockchain analysis and compliance firms are raising concerns about the project's transparency. A representative from one of them told Cointelegraph, quote, "We're seeing $220 million being bridged to Ethereum at the rate of $1 million per minute. That level of urgency suggests there may be more to this story than just a simple bug." Unquote. Maybe a village of bugs. Takes a village. Former SafeMoon CEO Braden John Caroni has been found guilty on all criminal counts against him: conspiracy to commit securities fraud, conspiracy to commit wire fraud, and your old conspiracy to commit money laundering. SafeMoon was a briefly popular project, reaching a maximum market cap of approximately $1 billion before collapsing. Well, how'd that happen? Caroni's misrepresentations to investors around the project included claims about key token mechanics, such as apparently locked liquidity pools. No swimming today, kids. Caroni and other SafeMoon leaders withdrew tens of millions of dollars from these pools, despite claiming they were locked. The former CEO's defense was unsuccessful. He argued there was no conspiracy among the leaders of the scheme. One of the co-conspirators, who's already pled guilty, testified against Caroni early in the trial. That man, Thomas Smith, stressed that the leaders of this project were willing to use liquidity for things that, quote, were not emergencies, unquote, and he described his own moment of corruption after receiving funds that came from the liquidity pool, stating, quote, "I became that monster I was talking about," unquote. There's your magic of crypto, right in the middle of a crypto winter. And that seems to me to be time for the side effects of the week.
Austedo XR can cause depression, suicidal thoughts, or actions in patients with Huntington's disease. Pay close attention to and call your doctor if you become depressed, have sudden changes in mood, or have suicidal thoughts. Don't take if you have liver problems, are taking reserpine, tetrabenazine, or valbenazine. Austedo XR may cause irregular or fast heartbeat or abnormal movements. Seek help for fever, stiff muscles, problems thinking, or sweating. Common side effects include inflammation of the nose and throat, insomnia, and sleepiness.
Well, those are common. Have to hand it to you. And now,
we've got the ultra-modern knack of getting oil from the deepest crack. So give the boys just a bit of slack and say a hearty what the frack.
Colorado oil and gas companies have pumped at least 30 million pounds of secret chemicals into the ground over the last 18 months. That's some heavy pumping. And they did not make legally required disclosures, according to new analysis reported by The Guardian. This is in spite of the First in the Nation rules requiring operators and their suppliers in Colorado to list all chemicals used in drilling and extraction, while also banning any use of the PFAS forever chemicals at the oil and gas sites. Since the transparency law took effect way back in July 2023, operators have fracked 1,114 sites across Colorado. But as of the beginning of this month, chemical disclosures have not been filed for 675 of them. That's more than 60% of the total. Chevron, the world's third biggest fossil fuel company, is by far the most serious offender, operating about 375 of the non-compliant wells. Quote, "We thought the Colorado law was going to break through the culture of secrecy that surrounds the use of potentially toxic chemicals in oil and gas production." Those are the words of Dusty Horwitt, an attorney and researcher who was lead author on the analysis, which is based on public disclosures. But, he says, the lack of compliance has left the secrecy in place, putting people's health at risk. The report was released by the environmental group Physicians for Social Responsibility, along with a couple of other such groups, and the report was shared exclusively with The Guardian. In a statement, Chevron spokesperson Paula Beasley said Chevron is already disclosing all of its fracking fluid ingredients that are not trade secrets. That's the key get-out-of-jail phrase, and argued the responsibility to disclose trade secret chemicals ultimately lies with the suppliers of the ingredients, not with the companies who use them. You made the poison. In order to drill wells and extract minerals, fossil fuel operators pump huge volumes of pressurized liquid into the earth to fracture bedrock. That's fracking. That stimulates the release of trapped oil and gas. These fluids are mostly water and sand by volume, but they also contain industrial chemicals, including biocides. That's, I guess, something that kills living things. Surfactants and lubricants. Numerous studies show these fluids can contain toxic chemicals like formaldehyde, as well as carcinogens such as the famous forever chemicals. This pollution can end up in aquifers, public waterways, and residents' drinking water. Have another glass, won't you? This is according to the EPA. Just before it disbands, a professor of civil and environmental engineering at the Colorado School of Mines, John Spear, compares fracking to employing a syringe filled with mayonnaise, emptying a syringe filled with mayonnaise into your thigh. It puts a whole bunch of material into a space that's not equipped to handle it. We're putting things down there that are probably not meant to be digested by the subsurface, he said. The problem is especially acute for people who live near an oil or gas well. You'd think so. There's well-established links to leukemia, birth abnormalities, and other serious health outcomes for those folks. And secretive chemicals can make it difficult to provide adequate care for those individuals. But wait, there's more. It's a whole week full of what the frack. The Ohio Department of Natural Resources halted operations at a well pad operated by Houston-based Encino Energy that the agency says likely caused a series of earthquakes in the area. The Ohio Department of Natural Resources has a network of seismographic stations around the state, detected 53 earthquakes in one county, Noble, located in southeast Ohio in that time frame. Most were so small they likely went unnoticed, but three reached 2.8, 3.3, and 3.4. People are thought to notice earthquakes at about 3.0. Ow, what's that? The agency's Division of Oil and Gas Resource Management reviewed seismographic data, along with other records of the hydraulic fracking from Encino, and concluded that the events were likely linked. State records, this is Ohio, show a dramatic uptick in the frequency of earthquakes in that county, which experienced its very first earthquake in 2017. Between then and 2024, The county averaged less than 5 earthquakes a year, but there have been 69 so far this year. The oil company didn't return a call from Cleveland news source called Signal Cleveland. According to Mike Brzezinski, a professor of seismology at Miami University, both fracking, the spraying of mixture of water, sand, and chemical at high pressure deep underground to free natural gas, and the injection of that wastewater underground can cause earthquakes. ODNR didn't respond to an inquiry about when the company can resume its operations or under what conditions. And finally, Texas regulators are warning that wastewater from fracking in the biggest oil basin in the United States is causing a widespread increase in underground pressure. That's a development that risks hindering crude output and harming the environment. Shale oil wells in the Permian Basin generate millions of gallons of chemical-laced water. Drillers then pump that back into the earth. Landowners and activists have said for years this process causes toxic leaks. Now, the state's powerful oil and gas regulator, oddly named the Railroad Commission, I wonder who regulates the railroads, is acknowledging the scale of the problem and imposing restrictions that could increase crude production costs. Yeah, but gas is $1.90 now. The companies involved have received notices about the pressure issue from the Railroad Commission, according to Bloomberg. Producers began injecting more water into shallow rock formations about 5 years ago after pumping it deep below the surface, and that was found to trigger earthquakes. But the volumes of water are now so large that dirty water is breaching wells and causing the ground to swell and rupture. I know, you may need a truss, threatening to contaminate drinking supplies for people and livestock. Restrictions on both deep and shallow injection zones could mean producers will have to pump their wastewater farther afield, increase recycling, or pay to clean it up. Ugh. All these options would add cost to the oil coming from the Permian Basin, which accounts for about half of America's total crude oil production. It would be the latest blow to U.S. producers already grappling with low oil prices and a shrinking inventory of top-tier drilling sites. This despite the felon-in-chief's pledge to unleash U.S. energy dominance. The Railroad Commission has updated its standard language in letters that it sends to producers. Now it says disposing wastewater into this particular rock formation in the prolific western part of the Permian Basin, quote, has resulted in widespread increases in reservoir pressure that may not be in the public interest and may harm mineral and freshwater resources in Texas. Drilling hazards, hydrocarbon production losses, uncontrolled flows, I have those, ground surface deformation and seismic activity have been observed, unquote. The Texas Railroad Commission. That's a heck of a way to run a railroad commission. What the frack?
from the White House, now with more gold on its walls than Fort Knox has in its whole thing. This is your favorite president with another edition of Truth Social Audio, brought to you by Trump Laundry Detergent. It totally deports the dirt. This week saw a dinner for the ages. After all, who gets both filet mignon and halibut in the same meal? The smart cookies who loaded up on Trump coin, that's who. As I'm sure the fake media has told you by now, we had a fabulous dinner at one of my equally fabulous golf courses, classy like nobody has ever seen, to honor the cream de la cream of Trump coin owners. While the jerks at NBC keep shouting about so-called corruption, I look at the bright side. Who wouldn't want to spend 15 minutes talking to some of the smartest people in the whole world of alternate money? And if you think nobody really makes real money in crypto world, look no farther than your loudspeaker, because that's where you'll find me. And as for what my press secretary truthfully called absurd charges about corruption, the actual fact is that I had no idea who these people were or what they might have wanted, except for the warm lava cake dessert. Who wouldn't want that? And for those so-called journalists who should be in jail, who claimed the dinner was taking up my precious time from running the government, here's a real scoop. I was only there for about 20 minutes. That's not even enough time to okay a suit against the Harvard people. Speaking of Harvard, while they're bringing in the dregs of the world to be so-called students, people from jails and mental hospitals, the guests at my dinner were people you'd be so very proud to give a short speech to. The elite kind of entrepreneurs who could really make this country great again if they lived here. And as for the degenerates who claim my video of the South African genocide of white farmers was fake news, I've got three words for them. Death, death, death. Talk to you then.
Trump Social Audio is also brought to you by Trump Brake Pads. Stopping was never so gradual. So long. From New Orleans, this is Le Show, and now, the apologies of the week.
We're so sorry.
I don't mean to impugn them as weak, but Dateline Indianapolis' Roger Penske attempted to close the latest cheating scandal engulfing his race team, this one in conjunction with his beloved Indianapolis 500, by firing his top three executives at Team Penske after two of the organization's cars were found to be illegal during qualifying. Quote, "Nothing is more important than the integrity of our sport and our race teams," Penske said in a press release. "We've had organizational failures during the last 2 years. We've had to make necessary changes. I apologize to our fans, our partners, and our organization for letting them down." Penske, unquote. Penske is the owner of not only the three-car team, but also the Indianapolis Motor Speedway and the Indy 500. The firings in Penske's statement have been his first public reaction since driver Joseph Newgarden, a two-time champ on the American Open Wheel Circuit, and winner of the past two Indy 500s, and teammate Will Power, were found to have an illegally modified spec part on their cars. And that was it for them. Dateline Australia, Energy Australia, one of the nation's big three energy companies, apologized to customers for the marketing of its carbon offsetting products. The apology was a part of a settlement with advocacy organization Parents for Climate, which launched legal action against the power company a couple years ago, claiming that the marketing of its Go Neutral carbon offsetting products was misleading. Energy Australia acknowledged that offsets do not undo the harms of burning fossil fuels. Wake up call for them. Wyndham Clark, maligned by the public following a club throw during the PGA Championship last weekend, has apologized for his actions. "As professionals," Clark posted this week, "we're expected to remain professional even when frustrated, and I unfortunately let my emotions get the best of me." Unquote. Reuters says standing on the tee box, not a box that contains leaves, of the 16th hole at Quail Hollow in Charlotte, Clark flared a drive right into a fairway bunker. Some of you know what that means. The 31-year-old former U.S. Open champion then flinged. Did he not flung? Flinged? Yes, he flinged his club toward the back of the tee box, snapping the head off as it crashed into signage with a volunteer standing just feet away. But he's sorry about that. Dateline New Orleans, in a tense public hearing this week, Orleans Parish Sheriff Susan Hudson publicly apologized for last Friday's jailbreak and allowed 10 inmates to temporarily escape from the Orleans Justice Center. Some of them are still at large, facing mounting political pressure and calls to resign. Hudson told the New Orleans City Council she takes full responsibility for the failures of the jail and was so struck by the event, she postponed her election campaign, her re-election campaign. Dateline New York, New York Governor Kathy Hochul formally apologized Tuesday for the atrocities she says were committed at an upstate boarding school where Native American youths were forcibly separated from their families and forced to assimilate into American society. Well, what's wrong with ours? Oh, the Democrats being on the grounds of the former Thomas Indian School on Seneca Nation land said students were subjected to, quote, unimaginable physical, emotional, and sexual assaults, unquote, during the institution's more than 100-year existence. Quote, instead of being a haven for orphan children, it became a place of nightmares, the governor said, a place some would call a torture chamber, the site of sanctioned ethnic cleansing. That's what was going on here, trying to eradicate the long, proud story of the Senecas, unquote. More than 2,500 students from tribes across the state attended the school in Western New York between 1875 and 1957. It was among hundreds of such boarding schools across the U.S. The Seneca president, whose father attended the school, said the apology was an important reckoning for the, quote, dark and tragic period, unquote, in the tribe's history. With Governor Hochul's words of apology, he continued, our healing process can continue, unquote. Now news of Ye, formerly Kanye West, his time spreading anti-Semitism is over, according to the rapper. The embattled rap mogul, according to Billboard, claimed on X this week that he's turned a new leaf. His time with anything associated with anti-Semitism is, quote, done, unquote. I am done with anti-Semitism, he wrote, kicking off a series of posts. I love all people. God forgive me for the pain I've caused. I forgive those who have caused me pain. Thank you, God, unquote. Ye has been vocal about having visitation rights with his children. It appears seeing his kids on a FaceTime call has inspired him. Quote, I simply got a FaceTime from my kids, and I want to save the world again, share peace, share love, unquote. Though Ye says he's now embracing love instead of anti-Semitism, the Anti-Defamation League, which has condemned his repeated hate speech, says, sorry, but we're not buying it. Former President Dilma Rousseff has been found eligible by Brazil's Amnesty Commission, which also issued an apology for her persecution and torture during the 1964 to 85 military dictatorship down there. She will receive $17,700 in U.S. money in reparations for her dismissal from the Economics and Statistics Foundation in Rio Grande do Sul state in 1977. This, quote, this commission by the powers granted in it grants you, Brazilian citizen, political amnesty, and on behalf of the Brazilian state, apologizes for all the atrocities which the dictatorial state caused you, as well as your family, your comrades in arms, and finally the whole Brazilian society, said the commission's chair, talking chair. The Manitoba Museum moving the focus to our 51st state. The Manitoba Museum has formally apologized to the Indigenous community for keeping ancestral remains in its collection. The Manitoba Museum is apologizing to First Nations, Inuit, and Métis communities. The museum held a closed ceremony this week with Indigenous leaders, elders, First Nation chiefs, and representatives from the National Center for Truth and Reconciliation in attendance. Wouldn't it be great if we had one of those? Following a pipe ceremony, the CEO of the museum issued an apology, said the museum profoundly regrets what it has done. She added, they recognize their actions have contributed to colonization. We apologize for our actions, inactions, and failures, past and present. We know that what is required now is that our actions be transparent, honest, and meaningful. This apology is just the beginning of our homeward journey of the ancestors, she said in a press release. The apologies of the week, ladies and gentlemen, a copyrighted feature of this broadcast. And now, we'll spend the rest of the show with Ralph.
AI to the rescue, smarter every day. From work to play, it leads the way. Innovation, creation, it's here to stay. AI makes life better. Hip hip hooray.
The Chicago Sun-Times paper last Sunday included a syndicated special section produced by a third-party company, including a summer reading list. The problem? Many of the books on that list don't exist. The titles and the book summaries were dreamed up by artificial intelligence. The author of the special section said he used AI to assist his research for the book recommendations and other stories written for the section entitled Heat Index, Your Guide to the Best of Summer. But the Chicago-based freelance writer Marco Bascaglia said he failed to fact-check what he gleaned using AI, resulting in information that ended up in the paper and also in the Philadelphia Inquirer. He was working for King Features Syndicate to produce content that sold to media clients across the country. That's owned by Hearst. And he wanted to assume full responsibility for what happened, which exposed the Sun-Times and Inquirer to widespread public mockery. Quote, stupidly and 100% on me, I just kind of republished this list that an AI program spit out. Usually it's something I wouldn't do. I mean, even if I'm not writing something, I'm at least making sure that I correctly source it and vet it and make sure it's all legitimate. And I definitely failed in that task. Unquote. He said he and others were trying to determine the full extent of the errors that made it into the special section, but he acknowledged using AI for other stories in addition to the list of books. Couldn't guarantee he'd fully fact-check them either. Quote, at this point, I'd expect anything. Probably good advice. Mark Zuckerberg wants you to be understood by the machine. This according to The Verge. The Meta CEO has been pitching a future where his AI tools give people something that knows them well, not just as pals, but as professional help. Quote, for people who don't have a person who's a therapist, he said recently, I think everyone will have an AI. Unquote. The jury's out on whether AI systems can make good therapists. The future is already legible. A lot of people are anecdotally pouring their secrets out to chatbots, sometimes in dedicated therapy apps, often to big general purpose platforms like Meta AI, ChatGPT, or Grok. Unfortunately, this is starting to seem extraordinarily dangerous for reasons that have little to do with the chatbot is telling you and everything to do with who else is peeking in. It's a truism somebody is always watching on the internet, but the worst thing that comes of it for many people is some ads. Right now in the U.S., though, the impending collision of two alarming trends in one tech executives are encouraging people to reveal ever more intimate details to AI tools, soliciting things users wouldn't put on social media and may not even tell their closest friends. And the other, the government is obsessed with attaining a nearly unprecedented level of surveillance and control over population minds, their gender identities, their possible neurodivergence, their opinions on racism and genocide. Incidentally, Zuckerberg isn't the only person thinking this way. Here's Elon.
So we just showed several of our Tesla Optimus robots to His Highness and President Trump, and I think they were very impressed. In fact, one of our robots did the Trump dance, which I think was pretty cool. Yeah, to YMCA. Our robots can dance, they can walk around, they can interact. My prediction actually for humanoid robots is that ultimately there will be tens of billions. I think everyone will want to have their personal robot. You can think of it like as though you had your own personal C-3PO or R2-D2, but even better. Then who wouldn't want to have their own personal C-3PO or R2-D2? That would be pretty great.
Yeah, it would be. Thanks, Elon. Thanks for helping. Dayline Orlando, Florida, an artificial intelligence software company, cannot use a free speech defense in a wrongful death lawsuit lodged by the mother of a 14-year-old who died by suicide after developing a crush on a chatbot. That's what a federal judge ruled this week. I guess it was a chatbot using the word I. Last October, Megan Garcia sued Character Technologies, the developer of Character AI. That's an app that lets users interact with chatbots based on celebrities and fictional people. She claims her son became addicted to the app while talking with chatbots based on Game of Thrones characters. Last February, that is to say a year ago, after months of interacting with the chatbots, sometimes with sexual undertones, the son sent a message to the chatbot expressing his love and saying he would, quote, come home to the character Daenerys, according to the complaint. After the chatbot replied, please do, my sweet king, the boy shot himself. Garcia brought claims of wrongful death, negligence, product liability, and unfair business practices against the company, its founders, and Google, a heavy investor in Character AI. She seeks an unspecified amount of money and more safety measures to prevent similar tragedies. Character Technologies argued the First Amendment protects the company from such lawsuits, cites similar cases brought against Ozzy Osbourne's song Suicide Solution and the board game Dungeons and Dragons, which also led to suicides, apparently. Quote, this suit likewise fundamentally challenges expressive speech and seeks relief that would violate the public's right to receive protected speech, unquote. But in her order, U.S. District Judge Ann Conway said the company's large language models are not speech. Quote, defendants fail to articulate why words strung together by an LLM are speech. By failing to advance their analogies, the defendants miss the operative question. This court's decision as to the First Amendment protection Character AI receives, if any, does not turn on whether Character AI is similar to other mediums. Rather, the decision turns on how it's similar to the other mediums. The court is not prepared to hold that Character AI's output is speech. Spokesperson for Character Technology said, quote, the law takes time to adapt to new technology. AI is no different. Each time you ask an AI chatbot to summarize a lengthy legal document or conjure up a cartoon squirrel wearing glasses, it sends a request to a data center and strains an increasingly scarce resource, according to Bloomberg, water. The data centers that power artificial intelligence consume immense amounts of water to cool hot servers. I like my servers hot. And indirectly from the electricity needed to run these facilities. Bloomberg News found that about two-thirds of new data centers built or developed since 2022 are in places already gripped by high levels of water stress. While these facilities are popping up all over the country, five states alone account for 72% of the new centers in high-stress areas. Tech giants are racing to expand with new and larger data centers to support AI consuming more resources, including water. That only adds to concerns that communities facing water shortages will have to compete with data center operators to access clean water. The problem has been years in the making. Some tech companies are trying to find ways to address it without creating other environmental drawbacks. Meanwhile, the proportion of data centers in water-stressed regions is at a record high. Even before ChatGPT launched 3 years ago, communities complained about data centers guzzling up millions of gallons of water every day from cities that didn't have all that much to spare. And, of course, the GPT frenzy has only made things worse. More than 160 new data centers have sprung up across the U.S. in the past 3 years in places with high competition for scarce water reserves, according to Bloomberg News. But wait, there's more. AI's integration into our lives is the most significant shift in online life in more than a decade. Hundreds of millions of people now regularly turn to chatbots. But now a new analysis by MIT Technology Review has a look at how much energy the AI industry uses to trace where its carbon footprint stands now, where it's headed. MIT spoke to 24 experts measuring AI's energy demands, evaluated different AI models and prompts, pored over hundreds of pages of projections and reports, and questioned top AI model makers about their plans. MIT found the common understanding of AI's energy consumption is full of holes. The question of how much a single query costs is vitally important. That's because those queries are being built into ever more applications beyond chatbots, search agents, the mundane daily apps we use to track our fitness, shop online, or book a flight. The energy resources required to power this artificial intelligence revolution are staggering. The world's biggest tech companies have made it a top priority to harness ever more of that energy, reshaping our energy grids in the progress. Meta and Microsoft are working to fire up new nuclear power plants. Why don't they ask their machines where to put the waste? This isn't simply the norm of the digital world. It's a unique to AI, a marked departure from big tech's electricity appetite in the recent past. Between 2005 and 2017, the amount of electricity going to data centers remained quite flat, thanks to increases in efficiency. In 2017, AI began to change everything. Data centers started getting built with energy-intensive hardware designed for AI, which led them to double their electricity consumption by 2023. 4.4% of all the energy in the U.S. now goes toward data centers. Meanwhile, data centers are continuing to use dirtier, more carbon-intensive forms of energy to fill immediate needs, leaving clouds of emissions in their wake. That's from MIT. And while machines are still allowed, at least for now, to recommend to youngsters that they kill themselves, there are guardrails. I can attest to this personally. Just as a little experiment in excessive satire, I asked 4 chatbots to draw me a picture that had the head of Kristi Noem on the body of a dog. All of them refused. All of them had statements that sounded like corporate talk instead of, "I'd love to help you with that." So they won't do that yet. And Builder AI, one of the UK's best-funded technology startups, is entering insolvency proceedings weeks after restating its revenues and admitting problems with past leadership. The London-based group is backed by Microsoft. It confirmed to the Financial Times that its main unit will be entering into insolvency proceedings, will appoint an administrator to manage the company's affairs. This is a blow to Builder AI's blue chip backers, Microsoft and Qatar's sovereign wealth fund. They collectively poured more than $500 million into a company that claimed it could use artificial intelligence to make the process of building an app or website as easy as ordering a pizza. The company's founder stepped down as chief exec earlier this year, but retained his board position and title of chief wizard. Hip, hip, hooray.
Sitting here, eating my heart out, waiting, waiting for some lover to call. I dialed about 1,000 numbers lately, almost ran the phone off the wall. I'm looking for some hot stuff, baby, this evening. I need some hot stuff, baby, tonight. I'm looking for some hot stuff, baby, this evening. Gonna find some hot stuff. I need some hot stuff tonight.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to conclude this week's edition of the show. Made without the use of AI, as far as I know. But I could be like that guy who writes for King Features. Just didn't check. You know what? I'm going to go check now. And then I'll see you. I really won't see you, but I'll be here next week at the same time over these same radio stations and on your audio device of choice whenever you want it. Hope you'll join me then. Maybe check your own AI in the meantime. The email address for this program, a chance to get Cars I Talk t-shirts, really. And the playlist of the music you hear here all, along with stuff to read, watch, and forget, all at harryshearer.com. And me, thank you for asking. I'm on Blue Sky at Harry Shearer. Lucia comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of WWNO New Orleans, flagship station of the Change is Easy radio network. So long from the Crescent City.